Sparks Fly, written by Begone, My Dear, read by Peaceful Boo, a Pod Together 2015 project. When Clark and Bellamy officially meet Raven Reyes, a week after they move into their new home, she's got a welding torch in her hands and sparks flying up from the metalwork in front of her. It takes a couple of minutes to realize she has an audience, and Clark uses the time to observe the scene in front of her. The woman is seated on a stool, surrounded by scrap metal and tools, with a long ponytail sticking out from the back of her protective helmet and a brace on her left leg. She's working on fusing two pieces of metal together, which already have some intricate designs cut into them. But Clark's not sure if it's anywhere close to being the end product. Bellamy calls out a quick hello to grab her attention, and the woman turns the torch off before twisting on her stool to face them, pushing her visor up as she swivels. "Hi," she says warily. "I'm Clark, and this is Bellamy," Clark says, gesturing as she gives the introductions. "We just moved in next door." "Oh, is that what all those moving trucks were for?" The woman deadpans, before her mouth twitches into a small smirk.
"I'm Raven. Nice to meet you. I'd shake your hands, but,
She shrugs, like, "What can you do?" gesturing to her torch. "That's okay," Clark says, taking the hint and putting her hand on Bellamy's arm to start pulling him away. "We just wanted to introduce ourselves." "Are you an artist, or is this just a really interesting hobby?" Bellamy asks, not moving from his spot and clearly not on the same page as Clark. Raven's eyes narrow a bit as her gaze shifts to Bellamy.
"Yeah, I'm an artist," she says, but her shoulders relax a little and she opens up a bit more. "I mostly do sculptures," she gestures behind her toward a few haphazardly placed pieces of varying sizes in her yard. "But the Children's Museum commissioned me for a metal mural on fairy tales for one of their upcoming exhibits, so this is your insider's peek into the early stages of that project." Now Clark can see the beginnings of a story in the two pieces of metal. Castles among sloping landscapes and otherworldly patterns and images almost woven into the metal like delicate lace. "It's amazing."
"Yeah, I mean, it's not my usual style," Raven says, a bit uncertainly running her fingers over the opening scenes of the metal. "But I like it so far."
"It's breathtaking," Clark tells her.
Raven's smile is uninhibited and radiant, and Clark feels slightly overwhelmed, her fingers digging into Bellamy's forearm, just as the welding torch unexpectedly flares back to life in Raven's hands. All three of them jump, and Raven rushes to turn it off.
"Weird," she says, after she triple checks that it's completely turned off. "It's never done that before."
Clark can feel Bellamy's glance, knows that he's probably figured it out given her tendency to affect physical objects around her when she panics, especially anything related to energy. He's got her covered, though, and works all his charm into the grin he gives Raven. "First time for everything, right?" he says, before deftly redirecting the conversation. "So, would you be interested in getting dinner with us sometime this week, so we can get to know each other better?" Raven's eyes drop to where Clark's fingers are still gripping Bellamy's arm, then back up to their faces, Bellamy all boyish grin, and Clark rosy-cheeked but hesitantly smiling.
"Sure," she says finally. She's got a curious look on her face, like she's not quite sure what to expect from the two of them.
"What did you have in mind?" They end up taking her to a small family restaurant they found a few moves prior.
It's one of their favorite places, but they're careful not to go often enough to be any kind of memorable. When your aging process is drawn out into centuries instead of decades, keeping a low profile ends up becoming second nature. For a little over the last half century, Bellamy and Clark have relocated to different suburbs around the city each time their neighbors start to make comments about how they never seem to age, and, "Clark, you really have to tell me what skincare line you use." The moves have always been easier when there are fewer ties to cut and excuses to make. "No, I actually don't have any social media account, sorry. Yes, it does make it pretty difficult to keep in touch these days." But the magical community is only so large, and Bellamy has a knack for sensing kindred spirits in the humans around them. So every once in a while, they make a cautious effort to reach out to someone. When Bellamy makes the offer to Raven, Clark trusts that he sensed a connection in her that could lead to something. Throughout dinner, they manage to cover ages, Raven's actual age, 27, Clark and Bellamy's ages on their current forms of identification, 26 and 28. Occupations: Raven, retired army mechanic, who discovered her talent for creating metal sculptures while healing from her injury. Bellamy, owner of a small bookstore in the city. And Clark, working temp jobs, supplemented by her family money and previous investments, while she works to figure out what exactly she wants to do with her life. And stories from drunken college nights. Raven, mostly related to bar brawls and saving her friends' asses, because, well, army recruit. Clark and Bellamy having a wide variety of tales because, well, decades of alcohol. By the end of the night, Clark has decided that she wants to do whatever it takes to keep the brilliant woman in front of them laughing. She also knows that it's only been the steady presence of Bellamy next to her that's kept her magic in check the whole night. She doesn't want to think about what either of those things mean just yet. It's not until after their third night out, just the three of them, that Clark gathers up enough courage at the end of the night to quickly give Raven a kiss on the cheek as they walk her up to her front door. She thinks, as someone who's been on this earth for longer than most people, a pretty woman shouldn't make her so damn nervous that her magic flares. But in the moments before Raven speaks, Clark can hear the noise of the cicada's song wax and wane in tune with each of her heartbeats. It's only when Bellamy's hand comes to rest on her lower back in solidarity that the sound finally diminishes some in the summer night. "So," Raven starts, her tone lighthearted. "This is a thing that's really happening." She gestures between herself and the couple in front of her with a circular motion of her hand. "If that's what you want," Clark says, hope bleeding into her inflection. Raven contemplates it long enough for the cicadas to start getting louder again before she moves closer to them. She puts her hand on Bellamy's shoulder for balance as she rises to the tiptoes of her good leg to firmly kiss his cheek. She drops back down, turning slightly into Clark, and presses her lips softly to the corner of Clark's mouth, grinning delightfully at Clark's sharp intake of breath. Raven pulls back, a soft laugh escaping her, and says, "I'm in." Bellamy chuckles on the way back to their house, and Clark shoots him a half-hearted glare. "Ugh, not a word, or I'll turn you into a toad." "Oh, please," he scoffs. "You've always been shit at conversions. Honestly, I'm more afraid of literally spontaneously bursting into flame when you're around her." "You're hilarious," she says flatly. 2 days after Bellamy leaves for his trip, the evening sky is just turning a purple dusk when Raven shows up at their front door, Bellamy's jacket in hand. On their last date, the summer's night had ended up being a little chillier than expected for Raven's sleeveless blouse, so Bellamy, who always tends to run hot, had draped his jacket over Raven's shoulders on their way home. "Thanks," Clark says, opening the screen door and motioning for Raven to come in. She takes the jacket and hangs it up in the front hall closet. "Hi," Raven says back brightly and moves in past her to the living room. Clark watches her take in the space. "You guys settled in pretty quickly. I know a lot of people who've still had boxes sitting in corners months after they've moved." "Oh yeah, we've moved often enough that we have a pretty good system down," says Clark, conveniently leaving out the multiple packing spells they've picked up over the years. "Do you want something to drink?" "I could go for some water, sure," Raven says, following Clark into the kitchen. Raven props up her crutch against the counter by the doorway on the way in and leans against the kitchen island as she watches Clark fill two glasses with water. "So," she starts, her tone casual, "no Bellamy tonight?" Clark walks over to the kitchen island and hands one of the glasses to Raven. "He left Sunday morning for a business trip. He'll be back in a little less than 2 weeks." Raven raises her eyebrows at that. "I thought he owned a bookstore. What kind of bookstore trip lasts 2 weeks?" "He also works with antiques," Clark tells her, using their go-to cover story for the main part of Bellamy's apothecary business for the magical community. "And his favorite supplier only works face-to-face, so every year he has to take off to some random European city to restock." "Has the supplier never heard of the internet?" Raven asks. "That's what I say," Clark exclaims, her hands thrown out in exasperation. "So for 2 weeks, you're left all alone," Raven says, moving closer toward Clark. "I bet that could get kind of lonely." "Sometimes," Clark shrugs indifferently, absentmindedly running her fingers along the rim of her glass. "Good thing you've got me for company, then," Raven says, corners of her mouth twitching upward, her hands settling on Clark's hips, coaxing her to face her. She slowly slides her hands up to wrap around Clark and pull her in closer, and Clark can feel the flush spreading across her body, her fingers tingling with magic and making her hesitant to touch Raven back. Suddenly the lights in the room flare brightly, and the buzzing electricity grows louder until all the light bulbs blink out with loud clinks, making both women jump. They're left standing in a pitch-black kitchen. "What?" Raven moves away to grab her crutch from where she left it leaning against the counter and turns on the light for the living room next to the kitchen. "Old houses, right? You probably should look into getting one of those whole house surge protectors or something. Is your circuit breaker in the garage?" she asks, already walking in that direction. Yeah, I think so," Clark replies. She takes a couple of deep breaths before walking in the direction Raven went, muttering under her breath, "I think we're gonna need more than just a surge protector." 2 days later, Clark's already in a bad mood, and it's not even 11 a.m. Between not really being able to talk to Bellamy for the past couple of days, and dealing with a new spirit who seems to have attached herself to Clark at some point during the move, she thinks her brain is allowed to be a little on the fritz. She's just finished a grating conversation with Roberta, the older female spirit. "Oh dear, you really should work on your housekeeping skills. That vegetation out back truly is becoming somewhat of an eyesore." "Very constructive," Roberta thinks. "I'll get right on that," when Raven lets herself in through the door. Do you actually work at all, or do you just grow money on trees? Raven asks her, pulling herself up onto one of the high back stools at the kitchen island. And if so, where can I find one of those trees? With her nerves already frayed, and her brain occupied with remembering the exact potion recipe for getting rid of lingering spirits, Clark doesn't think twice about answering Raven more than honestly. No, counterfeiting plants are notoriously hard to come by. Even if you manage to get your hands on one, you can never be sure it'll give you the right currency. She shrugs, eyes still on the ingredients she's chopping up. It's only after a few moments of silence that Clark realizes what she said and jerks her head up to find Raven squinting at her, head cocked and a contemplative look on her face. Clark chuckles nervously and says, I work. I just decided to take a couple weeks off from temping for the move and settling in. Can you hand me that container? She gestures to the far end of the island that Raven can reach and steps closer to grab it from her. As she's putting the packed-up potion ingredients into the fridge, Raven lets out a laugh. Do you really need to be reminded to eat? Clark shoots her a puzzled look as she shuts the fridge door, and Raven gestures to the whiteboard on the freezer section. The whiteboard is something she and Bellamy worked out when he first started taking extended trips across seas, back before international phones or the internet were accessible things. It's connected to one of his small notebooks that he keeps with him, and what he writes in his notebook shows up on the whiteboard, and vice versa. They still use it because sometimes it actually works better than their cell phone service. And, well, they're creatures of habit. It's not broke, so they aren't going to fix it. Bellamy mostly likes to use it to satisfy his mother hen urges of reminding Clark to take care of herself, but it is really useful when they're coordinating times to chat via mirrors. The current reminder, telling Clark to remember to eat, and no, Pop-Tarts do not count, is still on the board from when it appeared earlier that morning. I get really invested in projects and kind of lose track of time, she protests, and I may or may not also be a horrible cook, but that's not usually the main issue. Raven looks at her fondly. I know how that goes. However, unlike you, I am an amazing cook. I could make us some lunch if you want to join me next door. I'd like that, Clark says, shooting her a smile over her shoulder as she washes her hands. But Raven's eyes aren't on her. Instead, she's looking back at the whiteboard, eyebrows furrowed. Was this note here just a minute ago? Raven asks, hopping off the stool onto her good leg and slowly moving over to the fridge to point at Bellamy's newest note to Clark. Chat at 3, your time? Clark breathes in quick and holds her breath, but she can already feel her heart picking up and her panic spiking with the possibility of discovery. Abruptly, the back door slams shut, and the windows rattle in their frames. Clark lets her breath out in a quick whoosh before she tries to focus on calming her heartbeat. Raven looks startled, but not suspicious. Whoa, that must have been a plane flying super low, Raven says, walking over to the kitchen sink to peer out the small window above it. She cranes her head from side to side, trying to locate a plane that Clark, while sure is not there, is hoping that by some miracle will show up in the sky as a valid excuse for what just occurred. Huh. I guess it was going in the other direction, Raven says. That's what we get for living so close to the airport, Clark says distractedly, eager to get out of the house before Raven can witness any other instances of magic. She holds out a hand to Raven. I believe I was promised an amazing meal. Yeah, you were, Raven says to her and grabs her hand to lead her out the back door and across the lawn to her house, magically appearing notes forgotten for the moment. Later that afternoon, after Clark's relayed all her magical mishaps around Raven through her mirror call with Bellamy, He just laughs at her. "Helpful," she says grumpily, frowning at him, then changes the topic away from her and her unfortunate magic-altering crush. She adjusts the mirror's position, so there's not quite as much glare from the afternoon sun. Mirrors have always been popular in the magical community as a form of communication, and most of the people that Clark knows still prefers them over cell phones. Better service, and less expensive. They chat a bit about the specifics of the trade Bellamy is working on, and the witch that provides a lot of the supplies for the apothecary, who changes her location every few years. Bellamy kind of dreads the 2 weeks each year it takes him to locate, negotiate, and transport the supplies for the store. But Siobhan has been the best supplier for the last 3 centuries, so he commits to the annoyance every year at least. "I just don't understand why she can't just move her business online," Clark complains for the 1,000th time. "The internet's been around for over a quarter of a century now. It's not like it's a new fad going away anytime soon." "It's how she's always done her work. And she's the best at it, so she gets to make the rules," Bellamy explains. Again, annoyance creeping into his voice. "Not every magical being can be a techno-witch like you, Clark." "I'm not even a techno-witch," she protests pointedly. "I just know how to make my life and everyone else's easier." Bellamy smiles faintly. "What's the real reason you're being like this, Clark?" She sighs, and she swears it's the sun reflecting in the mirror that makes her shut her eyes tightly. "I just feel so unbalanced when you're not here." "I miss you too," he says back. Clark watches him for a moment, the breeze from whatever coastal town Siobhan has decided to manage her business from this half of the decade, drifting in through his window to mess up his hair. 2 weeks really should be nothing in the grand scheme of things, over the course of the decades that Clark has known, and she knows that she could live her life without Bellamy if it came to it. There were a couple years during the 1940s that were particularly brutal for her that she shut him out of her life. But still, there is a sort of imbalance whenever they're away from each other. "I'll be more careful about writing to you," he promises. "But honestly, I've got a good feeling about Raven. I have since we moved. I really don't think she's going to take it as badly as you think she will. And we'll have to tell her eventually anyway." Clark nods. "I still think I prefer to do it together." Clark's view of Bellamy gets a bit shaky as he grabs his handheld mirror and relocates to recline on the bed. "I might actually be getting done here sooner than expected, so I could be getting back a little earlier." Clark props her head on one of her hands. "That'll be nice." Bellamy lets out a yawn and rubs his eyes with the heel of his palm. "As much as I like seeing your face, I'm exhausted, so I'm gonna go to bed. I'll try and let you know the next time we can call." "Okay." "And Clark?" Bellamy's voice is rougher than usual, revealing just how tiring the last couple of days have been for him. "You and me, we'll be okay, whatever happens." And just like that, Clark feels calmer than she has all week. "I still can't believe you've never seen Pacific Rim," Raven calls from the kitchen. "I don't know, the description didn't really sound appealing to me when I heard about it," Clark answers back, looking at the back cover of the disc case Raven brought over. During one of their conversations at lunch during the week, Raven made a reference to the movie, and Clark admitted she didn't know where it was from. If Raven hadn't been determined to finish her current set of mural pieces before the next delivery of metal on Sunday, she probably would have forced Clark to watch the movie right then and there. In any case, she'd managed to finish her mural pieces on Saturday afternoon and promptly invaded Clark and Bellamy's living room with her special edition of Pacific Rim. Well, you'll see what a mistake that was, Raven says, as she walks back into the living room with a large bowl filled past the brim with popcorn. She turns the lights off on her way in and plops next to Clark on the couch, handing the bowl over to her so Raven can take her brace off. By the way, what do you have in your crock pot? It kind of smells like it's on its way to the morgue. Oh, Clark starts. The crock pot has become her favorite way to brew potions over the last decade, and she's only about a day away from having a Roberta-free house. I found a new recipe for... She trails off, unable to think of an appropriate non-magical substitute. Raven snorts. You really weren't kidding when you said you were a horrible cook, were you? Clark nods, her lips purse, because honestly, she is horrible at cooking. So it's not exactly a lie. Raven grabs the bowl of popcorn back from her and settles in closer. Clark is trying to not get too distracted by the warmth emanating from where Raven's body is pressed against hers, from hip to shoulder, when Raven jostles the bowl in front of her. Well, you'll have to try some of my homemade popcorn. And no, I won't tell you the secret ingredient. They start the movie, and Clark figures out pretty quickly that Raven is one of those people who does not appreciate any talking during a movie. So there's minimal conversation once Raleigh Beckett starts his intro. Eventually, the bowl of popcorn is perched on the side table, and Raven manages to slowly shift into a position with her head on Clark's lap. Clark takes advantage of Raven's concentration on the film to slowly undo the hair tie, keeping Raven's hair in a ponytail, and lets her fingers comb through her dark hair for the rest of the movie. When the credits start to roll, Raven lets out a contented sigh before pushing herself into a sitting position and facing Clark. So, what did you think?
I'm a little skeptical that if we were to get into a future like that, our instinct would be to build giant robots, Clark says. Raven says, looking a little insulted. I would be the first to jump on board designing those beautiful machines.
Really? Clark says, amused. Duh. And let's be real, you and Bellamy would probably end up being the Jaeger pilots for whatever robot I made.
Nah, Clark says, shaking her head a bit.
Raven gives her an unimpressed look. Please, I've seen you two together. If you're not drift compatible, I'll eat my brace. Clark lets out a quick laugh, and Raven's lips twitch into a smile in response. No, I just mean you haven't seen Belle with his sister. I probably wouldn't be the one to pilot with him, because those two are so in sync, it's actually a little frightening. Raven says, humming her lips against Clark's shoulder, the vibrations rushing over her skin and making her shiver.
Well, I guess you could always just keep me company in the Shatter Dome.
Clark raises an eyebrow at that, and Raven smirks, before leaning in for a soft kiss. She pulls back, searching Clark's eyes for any hesitation. Finding none, Raven kisses her again, and this time Clark is quicker to respond. After a few moments, Raven moves lower, nudging Clark's chin so she tilts her head to the side before slowly skimming her lips down the slope of her neck, pausing to gently bite the skin above her collarbone. Clark's breathing becomes shallow as she bites her lip, her hand that's not caught between them drifting up Raven's arm, fingertips tingling as she traces a path to her shoulder where she tightens her grip, needing something stable to grasp. Raven yelps, and Clark realizes she's channeling more through her fingertips than just figurative sparks. She pulls her hand back into herself, but Raven reaches out and catches one of her wrists, staring as little bolts of electricity zap from finger to finger. Clark hastily clenches her hands into fists to stop the sparks from showing in the dark room. You've got some mad static electricity going on here, Raven says, entranced. It's like your house is the Twilight Zone or something. Yeah, Clark agrees, scrambling for something to distract Raven. Hey, what time did you say you were getting your delivery tomorrow morning? Ass crack of dawn, Raven sighs, reaching out to where her phone is sitting on the coffee table in front of the couch. She checks the time and then starts to pull her brace back on. I should probably get back so I can get some sleep before then. And as much as Clark would love to continue what they had been doing, she's more than a little unnerved by the way her magic has been acting around Raven. So she walks Raven to the door and gives her a quick kiss, waiting to make sure she's made it safely inside her own home. Pull it the fuck together, Griffin, Clark tells herself, closing the door and resting her forehead against the wood until she feels her magic start to settle once again. I'm telling you, I think I'm going to end up brewing whatever we've got going on here because I can't seem to control my magic. Clark picks up the small mirror and walks from their bedroom into the kitchen. She props it up on the counter as she goes to fill a glass with water. I'm pretty sure we've dealt with worse things over the last 70 years, Clark, Bellamy tells her. Whatever happens, happens. We'll deal with it however it plays out.
70 years? Didn't think you guys were that old.
Clark jumps at Raven's voice, not having heard her come in through the back door. Clark freezes in place until she realizes the water from the faucet is overflowing from her glass into the sink. She shuts the water off and leaves the glass in the sink as she turns to shoot a panicked glance toward Bellamy.
Oh, hey, Bellamy, Raven says to him. You guys video chatting? What time is it there for you?
Clark's eyes widen, her hands outstretched as Raven gets closer to the mirror in a delayed attempt to stop her from investigating. Bellamy answers Raven quickly, but Clark can't pick out individual words as her stress skyrockets. The lights in the house flicker, and Raven tilts her head up to the ceiling, her face narrowed in scrutiny. Bellamy focuses on Clark again as she takes a few deep breaths. I'll be home tomorrow night, Bellamy reassures her. Then, right before he ends the connection, he looks pointedly at Raven and says, Tell her.
Tell me what? Raven asks, picking up the mirror, which has reverted back to its original function. Is this a tablet?
Clark watches her tap on the glass a few times, then turn the mirror over in her hands, her face scrunching in confusion as she realizes it's not a piece of technology.
We're kind of magical, Clark says, taking a leap of faith and just going with Bellamy's suggestion.
Raven's expression doesn't change much, so she forces herself to try and explain it the best she can.
Magical in the sense that I was born in the 1920s, and Bellamy runs an apothecary, and I can manipulate matter and energy around me, which you've probably been noticing.
The Twilight Zone? That would be me. There's a tense moment where Raven glances down to the mirror in her hands, then straightens up, face clearing into an expression of slight surprise.
Huh. Wait, so you're saying you're both almost a century old? Raven asks. This is going to be so awkward in a couple of decades.
Clark's heart picks up its pace at Raven's casual mention of their relationship lasting decades. As much as Raven's words seem like she's complaining, she actually looks quite delighted at the prospect.
Of all the information I just gave you, that's what you focus on?
Raven shrugs. I mean, at some point, when the evidence is all stacked up, You have to start looking for other possible explanations. The literal sparks from your fingers might have been the tipping point. And Clark hesitates. And you're okay with all this? She gestures vaguely in a circle around her. If by this you mean you and Bellamy and magic, then yes to all of the above. However, be forewarned, I'm going to probably bug the crap out of you with all of my questions. Clark lets out a relieved laugh, feeling like a weight has been lifted off her shoulders. I'm fine with that. Raven grabs her hand and tugs her down the hallway towards the still-lit bedroom. Now, not to have a one-track mind, but I did hear correctly that Bellamy won't be back till tomorrow night, right? Because I gotta say, I've been trying to get into your pants for over a week now, and I think we should take advantage of the girls' night. Raven pulls Clark into her just inside the doorway, and Clark's laugh is muffled against Raven's lips. Clark throws her hand out to hit the light switch, but Raven catches it before it can reach its destination. Raven pulls Clark into her just inside the doorway, and Clark's laugh is muffled against Raven's lips. Clark throws her hand out to hit the light switch, but Raven catches it before it can reach its destination, and brings it to her mouth to kiss the palm, the pulse point at her wrist, the underside of her forearm. Clark's breath hitches, the light bulb above them flickering in sync, and Raven smirks at her. Leave it, Raven tells her, pulling her further into the bedroom. I want to see if I can make it burst tonight. The end.